For what you pay the price for, there are great rewards.
Are you ready?
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orick.
And welcome into the Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. It is a beautiful morning outside. It is Tuesday, December 3rd. It is the Blitz. My name is Rick Butler, joined to my left by Brandon Orr, joined to my right by the Fish. Weston Brown makes his return. And then, of course, Chance Collins is in the building. Gentlemen, it's a good Tuesday. Inching our way through the week a little bit. Good to be back on the radio waves as of yesterday. Weston, welcome back to the show. We certainly missed you. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
I did. Good to be back.
How is everyone else doing?
Playing hooky yesterday.
You think so?
A little bit.
Yeah, we did talk about this yesterday.
Feeling good, feeling great
we
today.
We kind of felt like you were playing hooky.
I know what he did. He's not fooling me.
He took an old
He's not fooling me. You know what he did yesterday? He got a fresh spray tan, didn't you?
Was it yesterday?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I think it was yesterday.
You played hooky and got a fresh spray tan. Oh.
Look at that.
You can't hide it from me anymore, Fish.
So it was actually a personal day for cosmetic purposes.
Yeah, I had
to. You took you a little Chris Peterson, a little recharge. And you also hit up the little cosmetic purposes, huh? A little R&R.
Yeah, I needed a personal day, but I am a revitalized Fish.
You sound like an Orange County housewife. That's what you sound like. Someone throw that out there.
A Campbell County housewife.
Kansas on fire this
spray tans in Campbell County sounds a little too luxurious for me. I don't know. I've never lived in Campbell County. Sorry for Campbell County residents. It just seems like
the real house husbands of Campbell
County. Yeah, yeah, dude. Like, you should have like your own like Snapchat episodes or like, you know, YouTube story. Maybe you should just the life of the fish.
Yeah.
Call it. I got a great name for it. Fish out of water. And you just go around and you like spray tans, all your adventures that you have, the stories.
I'm
like,
taking getting, all offers.
Getting knocked
I'm
out
open
at,
to it.
Getting knocked out of Seahawks games, you know, going to different, you know, Vol football games, hollering at, you know, Kelly Jolly Harper. Also going to the Lady Vols games this year. I'm telling you, we got something right here that we can market to a lot of businesses. We can make a lot of money. Fish out of water.
I'm holding you
don't
to
you,
this.
Don't you steal that from me either. If you start doing that, you better give me some of the cut.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. You just created the whole idea, Chance.
Yeah, like, come on,
you
man.
You just set it all out on a piece of paper.
I'm holding you to the offer that you extended to all of us earlier in the year.
Right, you still owe us lunch.
Well, that and he said he's going to take us to a Lady Vols game.
That's true.
Okay, yeah. So, and Lady Vols rolling right now. They're pretty
all
good.
Right,
I would like to go see a big game.
Let me specify something, okay?
Go see Kelly
Brandon.
Jolly.
I do not want this dinner that we are owed and the Lady Vols game to just be mashed into one, and he gets us like some chicken tenders at the arena, all right? No.
It's very true.
These have to be separate events. Sure, they could happen on the same day. Maybe a little Calhoun's on the river before heading into the arena. I don't know. But, no chicken finger basket, okay? None of that.
It'd probably be more expensive than Calhoun's doing it.
Oh. Okay. Well, okay. That's an audio. That's in the audio vaults now. So that is the standard we will hold you to. Other than that, though, now that we got that out of the way.
Welcome back, Fish.
Plenty of sports to continue catching up on. I know we tried to get through as many of the topics yesterday as we could. Pretty much stuck with a lot of Tennessee football and Tennessee basketball. We'll certainly continue those conversations today, but then also spreading things out a little bit. Chance, you kind of just hit on one of the good points of the story right now is the coaching carousel of the 2019 season. I mean, applicants, find your horse because the carousel's about to start spinning. Who will be the first coach to be moved? Who will be the first coach to, I guess, officially accept a job? I don't know, but you got a lot of jobs open, and I think a lot of those jobs will impact where Tennessee is, will be kind of, not maybe where Tennessee will be in the future, but who at least they'll be playing. I know some of these teams, like in Arkansas, who are looking for a new coach, maybe even like a South Carolina, are going to be on Tennessee's schedule as early as next year.
Yeah, I mean, you already definitely have two in Arkansas and Missouri that will have new coaches next season. And as we talked about yesterday, again, nothing official, but still a lot of smoke around the Kiffin to Arkansas.
Yeah, that was the main one that I was going to bring up today as well.
That one has continued to pick up a lot of steam, and again, nothing done, but it's kind of trending that way.
Lane Kiffin to Arkansas, it just doesn't seem like the place for Joey Freshwater. I feel like if that's just a springboard job for him, if he does take it to maybe go to a bigger SEC school down the road. I mean, but maybe he could.
Do we think that Kiffin's tied? I mean, I don't think he's tied to the SEC.
No, I don't think. But it could be an even bigger job. You are correct. I guess that's true. Like, maybe he could take another, like, maybe an Oregon opens up in years or something like that, and he takes something like that, go back to the Pac-12. No, you're correct on that. But just Arkansas.
Mario Cristobal's got that locked down.
Just like
Oregon,
he's you thought he had it locked down against the Fighting Herm Edwards. I remember he's like, Mario Cristobal's not going to lose to the Fighting Herm Edwards. We see what happened there. He lost his playoff shot.
But if you're Kiffin though, and that's surprisingly, I'm not blocked by Dan Walken, but I saw this on Twitter. And he's talking about Norvell. If you're Kiffin, if you're Mike Norvell, why would you take? I guess it's a little different with Norvell. Why would you take an Arkansas or a Ole Miss or a Missouri job when Florida State is open right now? Texas could be open next year. USC could be open next year, if not this year. Why would you take a job like that if you're Mike Norvell when you could have a job where you can win it all?
Well, I think with Norvell, with Arkansas, it'd be the appeal of he could – probably recruit there pretty well too, being from Memphis. I feel like maybe he could recruit easily in Arkansas and still be recruiting in Memphis, and I guess a little bit in Mississippi still as well. I think I'm with you though. I think Norvell probably will get looked at by Florida State. Maybe Kiffin will as well. You're right about that. I mean, there are some potential bigger jobs right now,
but I don't.
And then there's even bigger jobs that could open up in the next couple of years. But if you're those guys, Norvell would be the one guy that I might think might wait, because he's had to have the opportunity in the last couple of years with Memphis. I know there's been teams that have contacted him. He stayed in Memphis. They increased the money they were paying him. He makes pretty good money to be Memphis's head coach. So maybe he would stay and hold out for one of those jobs. But I don't know. Maybe Kiffin might just try to. He wants to play with the big boys, I'm sure. And if anybody probably can take on Sabins and the Orgerons every year with the way that they're, especially LSU, the way they're recruiting now and how they're playing, probably Lane Kiffin be a good guy.
Well, I think it's different with Kiffin because of all the baggage that he's got. So I don't know if Texas opens up next year. I don't
if
know
they would if take, they would even look at him.
Look at Kiffin.
That's true.
And obviously USC's not going to.
They're not going yet to retreat.
They're not double dipping. But the name I saw this morning seems like Mike Norvell's picking up a lot of steam to Florida State.
Yeah. Seems like it is.
Seems like that one's
a lot of the Florida State beat writers and stuff that I follow. It does seem like that's picking up speed. And I've liked the guy for years. I mean, him or Lane Kiffin. I think Florida State just need to get a coach that, for sure the first year can probably get him 8 to 10 wins, because the talent's there. That was the problem with Taggart. You have all that talent, and he had a talented team that he actually probably regressed in his time there. Even though they had a struggling offensive line, there's still some talented players on that team.
Yeah, and I know that, we kind of felt that same way a couple years ago, and that was one of the biggest things that I think pushed a lot of people away from Butch, or at least that was maybe one of the final straws, is you're able to look at those teams and say, there is so much talent here. Like, that's not really one of the issues. I mean, you go back and look at that 2016 team, just the lineup that was on it. I mean, heck, Shy Tuttle is stiff-arming Matt Ryan into coffins on Thanksgiving, and he was a key part of that team who, you know, just never really kind of got as much shine as he probably could have gotten. The issue was not the players. It was the development, and it was how these guys would continue to change from year to year. It sounds like, you know, that's kind of the issue with what Taggart had. I think Vol fans certainly know that. Vol fans also know what it's like to have Lane Kiffin as your coach. But I don't really know if it's going to be certain that he's going to Arkansas. You're right, Brandon. That's just that's kind of the name that's being reported from Fayetteville the most. Here's a source, according to Football Scoop, talking about Kiffin in Arkansas. However, a source close to Lane shares that despite how long the talks continue to go back and forth, it's certainly not a lock that he takes the job. Complicating matters, as champions of the Conference USA East, Lane and Florida Atlantic will play in the conference title game against UAB this upcoming Saturday. Now, to me, that kind of stands out in two ways. One, you know, hey, it won't be a lock. And Brandon, the more that you talk about some of these other jobs that will likely be open down the road or likely could be open maybe as early as next year, there's so much to me that just says there's a couple of teams in the SEC right now that, like, I just don't know what their ceiling is. To me, Arkansas's ceiling is so mediocre, you know, and that's for the extended future, not just the short term. And then the other thing that I'm looking at is Lane Kiffin's about to play UAB in a conference championship game this weekend. And we toasted UAB. Like, we know that UAB wasn't a good team.
I feel like UAB's good.
I don't think UAB was that great.
I mean, come on. I mean, they're Conference USA. I mean, we did what we're supposed to.
I know, but that's kind of what I'm saying, is that I'm seeing these things here from Lane, and like, these are the places that, you know, this is kind of who they're going against. He's playing UAB in the conference championship game this Saturday. So to me, it makes kind of more sense that he would go to an Arkansas first, but that an Arkansas would not be the final destination because of that low ceiling.
I don't know. I feel like Arkansas is, of the three jobs that are open in the SEC right now, I feel like Arkansas has the highest. I know you said you thought their ceiling was low. I feel like they have the highest ceiling. If you get the right guy in there, they're the only school out of those three that have had success in the past.
Well,
I mean,
not so much. Missouri, when they first came to the SEC, won the first 2 years. They won the SEC East.
They benefited from a poor division.
Maybe so, but I would say it could. Now, Missouri has all those financial issues that are happening at the university. You know, they're in a lot of debt, their athletics program, and all the controversy they've had over the last couple years. But I think it'd be Missouri as far as the easiest trying to win the East.
I do too.
The West is very strong, very strong. And if you get the right coach in Missouri and he recruits the right players, you can compete in the East every year.
Right. That's so much more my point, is because the SEC West is
a juggernaut.
It's so much bigger and it's so much badder. You look at Alabama, right? And maybe Alabama might be on the decline. But
they're still Alabama.
When Alabama's on the decline, it's because these other teams around them are finally kind of starting to say, you know what, this dynasty needs to end. That's why LSU is getting so much better. You look at Auburn, and Auburn's getting better players coming in. Alabama might not be the top alpha dog juggernaut anymore, but to me, that's because they've been knocked down a couple pegs by the rest of the competition elevating themselves.
Yeah.
So the SEC West right now is, it's like the Black Knight from Monty Python, right? Maybe that's not the good idea because he was very easily to get past. But the SEC West, there's a giant brick wall right there. And the giant brick wall has the logos of LSU, Auburn, Alabama graffitied right there onto it. I think that's so much of a harder wall to climb.
But with Missouri, not only do you have, like Chance was saying, the financial stuff, you've got the NCAA, you've got the sanctions that they've got currently. I mean, it's not a good situation at Missouri. It's not a very
desirable
job. No,
it's not a
great
situation. But if you did get the right coach, I mean, we're talking about it'd probably take them 2 years. It might take you 4 years to compete in the West. Look what Texas A&M did, throwing all that money at Jimbo. He's still a dumbass for leaving, I think, a cush job to go compete. They're 7-5 this year. They thought they'd be competing for the West by now, too. And now you got a lot of people talking about, you know, he's kind of subpar expectations so far. So SC West is a juggernaut. I just think it'd be a little bit easier in the East.
865-546-8200. You know what? Let's go ahead and do it. Let's go ahead. Let's jump there right now. We'll figure out the time breaks later. Let's go ahead. First segment. Phil, welcome into the show today. Good morning. How are you doing?
Well, thank you, Fabulous.
How are you?
All right. How's Chancellor and Brandon and Floyd finally show up again?
Yeah,
he did.
Fish
he's
is back. Here. Feeling good. Feeling great, Phil. Good to hear from you.
So Floyd's going to take you all out to eat. That's impressive.
Get some fillets. Getting us some fillets.
No, not fillets, Chance. I expect steak.
That fillet. Not
yeah,
no fish.
Yeah, I'm not talking fish. I'm talking about filet mignon. So.
I was thinking the fish.
Calhouns, is that where you say you're going?
Yeah, that's the idea.
The filet mignon.
Well, I'd say probably about $200 you'll have to shell that one.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. It's a good thing he got a $2,000 paycheck.
Good thing it's his money, not my money.
Oh, God. Guys, got an interesting topic there about the Arkansas's got the – is a traditional power, and Ole Miss and Missouri aren't. And Missouri's never done anything. I don't know. What have they ever done? They got to the championship game? Well,
I mean, they won the East twice.
South Carolina did. I mean, you know.
I mean, Arkansas, it's going to be even though they might be the traditional powerhouse, I mean, they're 0-8 this year, 2-10 overall. It's going to be
as
tough to bring them back.
All those jobs are going to be tough rebuilds, but yeah. Arkansas is, I mean, and I guess Ole Miss, too. I mean, they had some recent success with Hugh Freeze. But Arkansas, to me, I mean, you look back. I mean, Houston Nutt had 10-win seasons there.
Yeah.
Petrino did well, took them to a Sugar Bowl.
Of course. But we're also –
like their starting point is not what the starting point of this coach would be. This coach's starting point is going to be – it's going to be astronomically low.
Well, Brett Bielema had one good year there when he first came in. And I know, but we're looking at historically Arkansas has been very good. Why can't the right coach come in and make Missouri a good team if he recruits well? Look at Kentucky. Nobody thought now Kentucky's still middle of the road, but Mark Stoops came in and done a pretty good job at Kentucky. They're going to bowl games every year. He's out there putting a receiver out at quarterback every year, and they're still able – I mean, not every year, but every game this year, and they're able to beat teams.
You see that dump field Missouri's got, even though they're doing a renovation on it?
Yeah, it looks like a high school field to me.
I mean, good Lord, they don't even have seats in the end zone. What kind of field's that? I mean, Kentucky's got a better stadium than Missouri.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, it's almost on the level of Ole Miss or, I mean, it's better than Vanderbilt, but it's not saying much.
Well, Ole Miss, the only reason Ole Miss ever wins is because they know how to recruit and get on the gray area. That's the only time Ole Miss has ever done anything. And it goes way back to, you know, before, you know, the desegregation of the SEC.
Yeah.
They did it before then.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Ole Miss is a great job. Like you said, I mean, yeah, traditionally Arkansas is the team that, you know, has done well over those other teams. I just think you get the right coach in. There's so much going on. And the East is – you got good coaches. Jeremy Pruitt, by year three, we should be competing for the East. Dan Mullen's there. Also Kirby. You get a good coach in there, it's just going to make it even more competitive. The West is just – I don't know. It's just top-heavy, man.
It is.
Well, I agree.
But if you look
– being in the East and the West, I agree with that.
Yeah, but if you look at – I mean, who's the last coach that had success at Arkansas? Petrino,
yeah.
And was the kind of offense that he ran? If Kiffin goes there, I think it could be a very similar situation.
Well, I agree with you there. I think Kiffin would be a better pick for them, maybe so than Norvell. He's not going to be scared to go up against the big boys, and he will recruit. He's able to recruit at FAU. He's shelling out 9-10 win seasons, playing another championship game there. We all said he needed to go there for about 4 or 5 years, repair his image before he gets a big boy job.
This is what, year three?
This is year four, I believe.
Four?
I believe so. And Lane Kiffin, FAU, I think he's in year four. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think it's three.
Okay. Well, he's been there. This will be his third full year. He's not going to be scared to play against Saban. He knows Orgeron. He knows Jimbo. He's not going to be scared to go against those guys. You know, that is true.
One more thing, guys. I was hearing the preceding show, and all it was a JG love fest. Are we going to have our program held hostage for another year? That's what basically is what it's been. It'll be the fourth year of being held hostage by number two.
I agree with you, Phil. I still think he stinks.
Fish, what are you
what
doing?
What are you doing?
That fish is right. Listen to Fish.
He's played like four or five okay games this season. But you look at the other six or seven, he's still terrible.
How about his whole career, four or five good games?
Wow.
I mean, Chance said it all along.
No, I'm not going to defend him like he's a great quarterback, but I also got to give him a little bit of credit for keeping the season alive to one extent. Now, if he comes back, it is going to be that same thing. Well, he should be a lot better, and he's going to get the start, but Harrison Bailey's also coming in. So if he's what he's predicted to be, then he should be able to go out there and compete and maybe win the job. And if he can't win the job from Jared Garantano, then he's probably not the guy to do it either, right? If he can't beat out Garantano in camp, doesn't that say something about Harrison Bailey?
Says a lot, don't it?
Yeah. He better beat him out in camp.
But is JG good enough to beat Georgia, Florida, and Alabama? And everybody knows the answer is no. That's the bottom line.
I agree with you, Phil.
See,
I don't know. I mean, we were a couple plays away from beating Alabama this year.
And then he went rogue.
Yeah, he lost us the game.
I feel like you played that game now. If we could play that game over with this Garantano, same situation, I would feel pretty good about our chances. I don't think he goes rogue. And I think that is a walk-in touchdown. But 865-546-8200, we are way over. Take a quick break. Listen to the Blitz on Fan Run Radio.
Good morning. Here on the Blitz. What time is it? 10:27 a.m. Sorry, I'm a little flustered.
You're flustered.
Come on,
behind the
Rick.
Fourth wall. Right in the middle of Phil's phone call. Phil, I'm sorry I couldn't say goodbye to you. I'm sorry I couldn't hear the rest of that phone call.
I don't think you said anything to him.
Right? No,
here's Phil.
Yeah, I said good morning. Right in the middle of his phone call, I guess I rubbed my eye the wrong way and just totally folded my contact in my eye, and it was just excruciating pain. I had to bolt out of here.
Oh, yeah, it hurts, man.
So I've just been
there.
I've just been, like, crying in the bathroom.
That's what you got
to
do.
I'm just trying to get it out.
You got to.
It's the worst. Anyways.
It hurts.
Welcome back to the Blitz, 10:28 a.m. That is a little bit better of an intro into the segment. So what did Phil talk about just now? I'd imagine football. He couldn't say, until you beat Vanderbilt. We're past that stage now.
He said that we were being held hostage by JG. The program is being held hostage by JG.
My point was that
Fish agreed.
Yeah, Fish. I don't know what the hell he's doing. I agree with you, Phil. Or if everything is
okay. Right. Let's think about that. That's an interesting point because it really is kind of funny. I don't want to make this broad statement because I'm certainly there myself. But the roller coaster of liking and disliking JG for really this fan base as a whole has gone through the most loop-de-loops and just insane curves you've ever seen. 2 weeks ago, everyone was back. We all loved him. Man, look at JG. He's got the heart to be this quarterback. He had to walk through the fire a little bit, but now he's back, and we had three receivers have over 100 yards, and how many times that been done in college football? And then 1 week later, he starts off like, 0-7, and people are changing to he's holding this program hostage?
Well, my thing is, I've criticized him much, and I still don't like the guy as the starting quarterback. Like, I think that
he still needs a ton of improvement.
Yeah, well, I think you got to give him the respect for keeping it together. And, you know, he did play better than Maurer down the stretch, and you were going to have him in, even though Maurer, you know, looked like the guy at first, kind of came back rusty after the concussions, and he just never looked the same. So I'm going to give him the credit there. Now, feeling like he's holding the program hostage, I don't know about that. I said, you're going to hear a lot of the same things if he comes back next year, which he's saying that he is. He should be a lot better in fall camp. We're going to hear things about he looks really good. He's so experienced. And he's going to be one of the top, like, you know, probably talked about quarterbacks in the SEC during previews and stuff. But my thing was, we've all been, like, throwing all our eggs in a basket over Harrison Bailey. We've heard so many great things about him, what he did at the elite camps, and what he's done. And everyone assumed, until JG kind of stepped it back up, that he's going to come in, have the job. that may not be the case. Maybe he has to wait. But at the same time, if Harrison Bailey can't beat out Jared Garantano in camp, then doesn't that say a lot more about Harrison Bailey since we all think Jared Garantano isn't the guy?
Well, I think if you have a situation where Harrison Bailey does not beat out JG next year for the starting job, then that means one of two things. That, like you're saying, Chance, Harrison Bailey may not be the guy, or maybe it's just going to take a little bit of time, and maybe it's just a little bit too big for him as a freshman.
Yeah.
It either means that, and if that's the case, then I think Jeremy Pruitt's days are probably numbered because he's waited so long to get the quarterback, and then you swing and miss on Harrison Bailey if that's the case. Or it means that Jared Garantano under Jim Chaney in year two has taken a huge step forward as a quarterback and is just playing better. I mean, it's one of those two things.
Mm-hmm. I believe it could be like a little gray. Like I think if they're similar, they'll probably go with JG next year.
You're going to always put the guy out there with more experience, at least first. And then if he struggles, then you'll bring in, you know, the younger guy.
Yeah, and I do agree with that. Looking at the schedule for 2020, you know, because look at the one for this year, right? It was, you obviously had Georgia State, you had BYU, then you had Chattanooga. So you really had those first three games to figure things out, right? To get a quarterback situation down, or at least if that schedule was the one for next year, we would be looking at those three games as, all right, here's a lot of time to figure out the quarterback situation. You know, using those three games, you should be able to tell, hey, is Harrison Bailey going to need a little bit more time to develop? Is JG coming out and he's looking a lot more improved than he was this year? But the fact of the matter is that you play Charlotte September 5th, and then September 12th you play at Oklahoma. You don't have a ton of time to figure out who your starting quarterback is going to be. So really this offseason and that first Charlotte game is going to be so critical because you got to put out your best quarterback for Oklahoma. You got to put out who's the best, who is going to give you the best chance to win. After Oklahoma, you got Furman and then Florida. Once that Florida game hits on September 26th, then that's a five-game SEC stretch. You're right in the thick of things. So next year, there's not going to be a lot of time to have kind of these non-conference games, to have some of these easier games to really kind of get your quarterback situation worked up. Man, you got to have someone ready for Oklahoma. You got to have someone ready for week two. I don't think that Tennessee's at a point where we just got to go lay down for that game. I mean, yeah, I don't.
Is Harrison Bailey ready to go on the road and be the starter in Norman?
I don't know. That's going to be tough.
True freshman.
That's going to be tough.
Starter at Norman.
I don't love those odds.
Me neither.
We'll
see
what
the writing's on the wall on that one.
Hey, let's jump back over to the phone lines. Get a call from Big Josh. Haven't heard from you in a while, Josh. Good morning. Welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, Rick, Chance, Brandon. How you guys?
Doing good, Josh.
Feeling
how
good,
are you?
Feeling great, Josh.
Hey, was Bo Nix ready to face Oregon first game?
Good point. Very good point.
Hey, you know,
how did Bo Nix look the rest of the year?
Hey, he's a freshman. You got
okay. That's what I'm saying. He's a freshman.
No, but listen, Chance, he's going to benefit from this year. From being on the field.
He will benefit, that is true, but we're talking about
we're talking about JG, who in the first five SEC games had three damn touchdown drives. First five games he had three touchdown drives.
Would you say that he kept the season together at the end? Would you give him that much credit?
I'm saying the kid is classy. He's a great teammate, but he sucks as quarterback. He's never going to beat Georgia.
Tell us
Florida,
how you really feel.
But look,
or Alabama. Hey, listen. Harrison Bailey is fourth all-time in career passing yards in the state of Georgia, despite missing 10 games. If you average those 10 games, he's number one. Just average them out. You know who the three ahead of him are?
Deshaun Watson,
Jake Fromm,
and Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you're going to go with the guy that gave you damn 3 touchdown drives and 5 SEC games.
Hey, no. That's literally not what we're saying at all.
I'm saying if you can't beat out JG in camp, there's a problem.
I'm saying, like, there's no need to, just because he's a great passer, we know he's going to be a great passer. I have every expectation that he will be a great quarterback for the University of Tennessee. But that doesn't mean that week 2 at Oklahoma, we need to put all our eggs in that basket and throw them out there. You know what? Sometimes it might just be better to have the guy who's experienced. I mean, look at Maurer, right? If you want to give the example of Bo Nix, I will give you examples of freshmen who weren't able to go compete on the road. One of those were on our team.
Listen, Rick, don't compare Maurer to Bailey. Maurer didn't have half the accomplishments Bailey has. Not even close.
I'm not even talking about accomplishments. I'm just saying we've seen instances in the past where, hey, that's not an easy thing to do, is to go out and ask a freshman quarterback to compete that well on the road. There are great instances of it, but we can't just expect that's going to be great.
But
why not throw in, you know, I'm just saying maybe there's a situation where it takes, 2 to 3 games to kind of let Harrison Bailey get his feet wet and this sort of thing. And then by Florida week 4, then he's moved into your starting quarterback.
But just how do you know if you don't play him?
Well, you need to play him.
Yeah, he needs to take his medicine next year, and he's going to make mistakes like Bo Nix did. But then we're going to be set up in his sophomore year to roll, man. This guy's the real deal. We've not seen a quarterback come here in a long time like his kid.
I totally agree. So, like, I don't want that to get twisted. I could not be more excited for Harrison Bailey. I'm a big quarterback guy. I've loved watching this guy in high school and kind of learning what he's got. All I'm saying is that if he won't be ready to go week 2, I'm going to take a step back, and that's not going to be too concerning for me because I know we're going to have a ton of time with this guy. Look,
you think JG's going to go to Norman, Oklahoma win?
No,
I don't either. So if you're not going to win, why not get the young kids some experience in a big-time atmosphere like that early?
There's not a ton of arguments against that. Like, I see what you're saying. I'm kind of trying to see it from both sides. I don't think it's a nuke to the program if JG starts that game. I don't think it's a detriment to the program if he is your quarterback week 1 next year, because I do think that, hey, letting Harrison Bailey get to kind of build his time over the first couple of weeks, maybe sharing some time with Garantano, I don't think that's a horrible idea. I don't think that you have to go through, or I don't think that you have to throw him into the fire right away. I think that you can maybe give him the second half versus Oklahoma.
I don't
something
know, Rick.
Like that.
It's about like your Whataburger take.
Oh,
Whataburger's great. I'm glad to stick up for Rick on this one. Whataburger's amazing.
Whataburger's better than Pals.
It's so much better.
We may disagree on Tennessee football. We can still be friends. We all have disagreements, but don't you come at my Whataburger, Big Josh. Don't you do it. That's
but
my
anyway,
burger.
I'm with Fish. I know Brandon, you and Rick's been influenced by Cody McClure, who's got a man crush on Garantano now, but we need to move on.
No,
he's holding us back offensively. It's clear.
We got
all kinds of wide receiver talent this year that, you know, we should have got a lot more out of.
No, I'm with
There's
you,
no
Josh.
Reason we shouldn't have been 9-3 this year, and the reason we weren't is because number 2. But anyway, y'all take care. See.
I am with Josh. Don't let it be confused. I am 100% in on Harrison Bailey.
Me too.
Josh thinks Pals is better than Whataburger.
Hey, I know. Hey, I ride with Josh.
End it.
I ride
End
with
it.
Josh. East Tennessee.
That's blasphemous.
East Tennessee all the way.
Have you sustained an illness or injury?
AM back here on the Blitz. Rick, Brandon, Weston, and Chance. Let's jump over back to the phone lines. Get a call from Zach. Zach, let me say this first and foremost. If this is about burgers, I don't know if I want to hear it. Let me just start that off. The burger debate will get me heated today.
What do you say, Butler?
How are you doing, my man?
How are you, Chance and Fish and Brandon, doing today?
Doing pretty good, Zach.
Actually, I was, you know how me, I'm a big fan of the caller, Phil, and I agree with everything Josh said up until the end.
Okay.
Pals is the most overrated burger place I've ever seen in my life.
It's so overrated. It is so overrated. Like, oh my God, like you got a cool little design outside. Your burgers are trash.
Yeah. Yeah.
The building's even stupid. It looks like a little kid's.
It does.
Yeah.
And they don't even have a playground. It's like,
they
what
don't.
Do you do, play on the building?
It's like a place that like something look up like guys like tripping or something like all the colors like that's what it like reminds me of like I'm not a big Pals
place
fan.
For the psychedelics.
Yeah, man, it's like stuck in the 70s.
I don't get it. And then I like the In-N-Out Burger out west.
In-N-Out's my favorite.
In-N-Out's
but Whataburger is Whataburger's
I do
my
like
second.
In-N-Out.
Yeah, I will say In-N-Out Animal Style.
Oh yeah.
Back to this quarterback situation, I think you guys pretty much know how I feel. I'm not going to preach the choir. I do think it's up to the coaches who we put out there. But, you know, Josh is right. When you got an elite-level talent like Harrison Bailey getting ready to come in, it's time to develop them. And so I'm going to rely on Chaney, that coaching staff. Chaney's making the big bucks. You know, let's put his $1 million salary to the work. Get this guy ready. And let's roll with it. And, you know, is there some point that the only thing that I kind of have a question about the coaching staff is, you know, somebody said that it took an injury to Eason before Fromm got the start. Is that right? I can't remember details very well. But basically, Eason and Georgia, it took him to get hurt before Fromm actually got to play.
I think that is correct, but yeah. It wasn't a season-ending injury, but when he never got the job back,
right? And so here's the other side of it too. We did see where JG started to struggle. Chaney did make the move towards Maurer and Stroud, and that took some injury, but they played around with him a little bit. But it'll be interesting to see when he competes. Does JG look better in practice than Bailey? But I'm glad we're getting him here early where he can, you know, go through the repetitions and learn under Chaney. I'm excited about the kid.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what it takes.
I mean, if you go back and look at Tyler Bray, who is the last quarterback that I guess came in as a freshman under Chaney, threw for 1,800 yards his freshman season in 9 games, threw for 1,900 yards, almost 2,000 yards his sophomore season in 7 games, and in his junior and final season, finally played all 12 games, threw for 3,600 yards. So, I mean, as a freshman, I think you got to roll with Bailey and just let him. I mean, if he takes some lumps next year, you just got to roll with him. I mean, yeah, is Harrison Bailey going to go into Oklahoma and get you a win? Probably not. Is he going to go? Is he going to go up against Florida and the tough defense that they have and get you a win? Probably not. Not as a freshman. But I think you got to roll with him.
Yeah, I'm excited about the kid. So we'll see. And then, you know, just one more thing on the bowl game, you know. I guess the latest I've heard is the Music City Bowl. They really want us. I'd rather go to the Gator or the Outback.
Oh, yeah.
But
hey, set your sights higher. We ain't going to no Music City Bowl. It's Florida Bowl or bust.
Everything I've seen, Zach, the three most recent updates I've seen have all been Outback Bowl against Minnesota. And that's from Stuart Mandel and then the two guys at ESPN.
I'd take it right now. I don't care. You know, people think Minnesota's overrated against their record. I take it now with their history. That's fine. Because you're not going to – somebody 3-9 was saying it. You're not going to get Penn State. They're going to the Rose Bowl because Ohio State ain't going to lose. So we're not getting them, and I doubt we see Michigan. I'll probably put them against Florida or something. All right, boys, you take care. Good show.
Appreciate the call, Zach.
Thank you very much. Hey, let's do this. Let's catch a quick break right here. Good call from Zach, as always. We'll take a quick break, jump back. Couple minutes left, and we'll be in the first hour. Close it out. I got a couple thoughts, and then we'll see what happens in the second hour. Don't go anywhere. Listen to the Blitz, Fan Run Radio. All right, back here on the Blitz, 10:51 a.m. Couple minutes left of hour number one. Weston, you had a...
I just feel like he has like some good Thanksgiving story. Something happened to him. Something over the weekend.
It was a big weekend for Weston.
We dedicate the top of the hour one always to a good fish story.
Thanksgiving was on Thursday. You did 6 straight hours of radio on Friday. You did more on Saturday. You must have had some kind of good story come out of all of that.
Any complications getting that remote up and running?
No. The only thing that happened during the remote is, I guess, coming in and out of here, the laptop got unplugged, and so during the drive, they completely died. We had a collar on, and I just had to like shut it down, and I got it going up, hit the commercial, and got it going. It was very mild.
Way to think on your feet.
Look at you. Did you just talk to the caller yourself then while it was going on?
Well, he was finishing up his call, and he said, "Thanks, guys," and I sent it to break.
Look at you, and I sent it to break. Look at you, badass.
But no, I got the power.
I heard they were not thrilled with you.
Yeah, what did Bear give me, a D+?
Whoa. He's suspended from the show anyway, so it doesn't matter his opinions right now. He's still in suspension, right?
I initially said a week, and I think that week is up, but I don't know. Should we keep it up?
I think because of the fish and the office ruckus that he caused this week, I think we have to suspend him for one more week.
He did cause a ruckus.
He did.
With the whole fantasy thing. He did. Which I would like to say, I am our representative.
Thank you.
And the number one overall seed.
Thank you.
In the playoffs?
Yes.
All right. Team Brandon.
Team Brandon, choose your side now. So back to fish. You got a good story?
Yeah, it's a So it was basically Saturday on game day. Me, Brandon, and Tanner Carson did the Tennessee tailgate.
Great
and
show.
If anybody doesn't know, me and Tanner Carson go way back. We grew up together. We had elementary classes together.
They go way back.
And he's a good friend of mine. So we go to the game together. Everything went pretty smooth. The rain sucked, but anyway, after the game, Tanner says, "Let's go back to my friend's tailgate. I haven't seen these guys in a long time." I rode with Tanner.
Okay.
So we go back to, it's that parking garage across from G10.
Okay.
Like, it's like underground.
I got you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
we get
the
back.
The communications building.
Yes. So we get back, and his friends are gone. And so then we have to walk back to... We parked close to where the plasma center is. In the pouring rain.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I mean, like at the end of the fort?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
That's a long way.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
that's a long walk. What the hell were y'all thinking?
We walked.
You know, I want to get some of those scooters.
Oh, if we would have seen those, I probably would have done it. So we walked back in the rain. I'm wearing boots. It's awful. We ride back here to the station. So usually I go to Tennessee games with my grandfather, and it's the best of both worlds because I can tailgate. He doesn't drink, at least on game days, and so I ride back with him. Well, he decided to be a fair weather fan and not come to the rain game. So
how dare he?
Yeah.
Wow.
So
man, grandfather, fair weather fan. Huh?
Yeah.
No pun intended.
So I got dropped off here at the station, and my plan was to Uber back home. And if anybody doesn't know, I live about 35 minutes away from here.
I didn't know that.
So, I did.
None of us did, really. Oh, Chance did.
I did.
So
Brandon did as well.
I look on the Uber
me
app.
Me and the rest of the audience.
I look on the Uber app, and it showed like, you know, $35 to go back to town. I said, absolutely worth it. You know, absolutely worth
man.
That.
Safe drive.
Yeah. I'm always a safe driver. So
you got 1 minute.
We get back to the
He's got 2 minutes.
Okay.
We get back to the station here. I order the Uber. Super Uber guy. You guys want to take a guess at how much it was with tip to go back home?
$50?
$75.
I wish.
Oh!
Surge pricing?
Yeah.
Oh.
So oh, no.
It was like 80, I think. And then I tipped the guy $10. Because I was feeling good. I was feeling generous.
Feeling generous. Yeah, that's one way to put it.
Feeling drunk.
Yeah, that's one.
But
that's the other one.
As they say, cheaper than a DUI.
There you go. Wow. $80 on an Uber to get him home after he had already walked multiple miles.
You should have just walked.
In the pouring rain.
Yeah. You might just walked that.
You basically walked that, walking to and from your car at the plasma center.
It was a long walk. You donate some plasma to help pay for that Uber?
I used to do that all the time at UT.
Of course you did.
Tanner Carson wouldn't give you a ride?
Well, I mean, that's a long drive for him and back.
True.
That's $80 out of your friend's pocket.
Maybe you give him a 20 spot, 35 minutes.
I'd probably
I thought you guys go way back. If I was you, I'd blame Tanner.
If I was sober, I would have given you a ride.
Yeah.
Not